everybody. Welcome back to Screen Heroes, episode 97.
Oh my god.
We couldn't hit 100 or 100 before the end of the year.
Not quite. That's tough. Whatever. It really means we can only take 2 weeks off the entire year. But this is our last show of 2017. We're going to be reviewing Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. I am Derek, one of your weekly hosts. I have my two other regular hosts with me, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hi.
And our returning guest, Ian.
Hi.
Fellow Heroes Podcast Network host.
Yes.
I had to get out. I'm so sorry. Hi, everybody.
So glad to have him as part of the team.
I'm classy. I bring the class to this table.
You put the ass in class.
Yep.
To anybody who's watching this, either on Twitch at twitch.tv/heroespodcast or on our YouTube channel, you might notice that Ray is a little hard to see. She's a little bit lower.
I have thrown out my back. It's been about a week. I am in a ton of pain, and this chair is the only thing that quells it. So that's what we're going to do for right now. I'm terribly sorry you can't see my face, but...
They can see your face.
For real, you're not missing too much.
It's just like the helmet and then like her
the
neck.
The Stormtrooper helmet's like right at your chin.
Oh, okay.
So we can still see you.
Well.
Yeah.
You're like a floating head like the lady in... Haunted Mansion, Madame Leota, or whatever.
I don't watch Haunted crappy Mansion. Eddie Murphy films.
There was a Disney film back in like the early 2000s, mid-2000s.
Yeah, no,
and he was like four then, so.
I was three. I was just born.
So we are going to be reviewing Star Wars The Last Jedi, of course. We'll begin with kind of a spoiler-free take, and then we'll break to dive into spoilers for anybody who
that
did not
That will not last long.
No, spoiler-free
it will not. It will not. Yeah. It'll be a quick kind of just opinion. And
it's always just one.
Things happen, lightsabers happen, the end.
We'll give people a chance to see the movie they haven't. But before we do that, something kind of weird happened that I wanted to bring up. So I got an email, which I'm just now opening for the first time, honestly, and it's titled... It's Ryan. I hope this makes it to you. That's the subject of this email. Now, you're here, Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's the same Ryan. I guess that it could be a different Ryan.
It sounds very Back to the Future-y.
So,
I don't remember sending this.
I'm just going to read this real quick. So it just says Derek, comma. So not even like, hi, Derek, or hello, which is it's very cold, but whatever. I hope this message reaches to you. A week ago, when I was leaving your house after the podcast, something happened. I don't really know how to explain it, but I fell into something and woke up in a different world. I know this sounds crazy, but I am literally on a different version of our Earth. They put me in a jail here, and from talking to other people locked up, this world is full of superheroes, and I am in their headquarters. Like, no shit. One of the guards has a cyborg-looking exoskeleton, and I'm pretty sure I saw a turtle with super speed. This is weird.
Are you on meth? What is wrong with
you? You didn't write this? Okay.
I don't know anything about this.
They
sounds like a prank.
You said a bad word.
Yeah, you're going to have to bleep that.
I was quoting.
Uh-huh.
I was quoting.
Captain America says don't say bad
explicit
words.
Explicit.
Well, language.
Talk to Captain America in 2017. I think he'll have a different opinion.
That's true.
He continues on. They let me have my laptop, and they let me record a podcast in quotes, I'm not sure why it's in quotes, with a couple of other, quote, people here. One of them is actually an alien, so I guess that's why people is in quotes. And the other one, I'm pretty sure, farted a rainbow leaving the podcast. So
that's
like
a
My Little
superpower.
Pony or something, I guess. That's what My Little Ponies do, right, Ray?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just want to get information back to you guys, so hopefully you can rescue me and get me home. I'm attaching it to this email. Please edit and publish, since I know you have a lot of free time, and this could give me the Nobel Prize. So I assume there's a podcast attached to this. Oh, there's an audio file. I'm assuming it's the podcast he's talking about. Please reply to this so I know I have a way to reach you and let everyone know that I'm okay. I will do everything I can to get home soon, but if you could get the government to work on a way to travel through space and time, that would be great.
Not our government.
Ryan. So this is very interesting. Maybe this is why, you know, they want to visit the moon and Mars is really just to get to this other Earth.
Yeah,
rescue Ryan.
I mean, that's just like a bonus.
Well, obviously I'm here, so I have no idea.
Yeah,
he's very corporeal. He's very like.
So you haven't
here.
Listened to the audio file yet?
I just
anything?
Opened the email now, so
probably should just delete it anyway and just be done with it.
No idea. It's called. It's from an email called Earth 2 Podcast.
Okay.
So that's very interesting. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what that's all about. I'll listen to the file. I'll let you guys know.
Yeah.
So more at 11.
That's good.
No. Hopefully I'm getting bed at 11. So
sleep at 11.
See how much editing this podcast takes.
All right. Well, that was weird, but let's continue on. So it is our last show of 2017. So thank you, everyone who's listened to all of our antics for the last 97 episodes, almost half of which were in this year. Let's give our spoiler-free Star Wars The Last Jedi take before we dive into spoilers. We'll go around the room. Ryan, you first.
Like the movie, I'm trying to balance the light and the dark, but...
That's deep.
Not as deep as you would think. It seems deep when you think about it, but then when you actually look into it, it's actually not that deep. It's very shallow, and like other things in life. Basically, I'm relating it to the movie. Yeah, there were some really high highs for me, and then there were some very, very low lows, like the lowest of the whole universe. Lows.
Oh, that's low.
I think I know where you're going with that one.
I may know, probably too.
But yeah. I feel very mediocre about the whole thing. I'd say it's better than at least, I'm going to say, 2/3 of the prequels.
Okay. Okay.
That's where
I'm at least one movie right? That's better.
I assume you mean that episode 1 and 2 were worse than The Last Jedi. Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure there. Ian, what about you?
I loved it.
Look, to be fair, no. Ian also loved the loot crate system in Battlefront 2.
Yes. So. No, I did not say that.
You might as well have. He also loved X-Men Apocalypse. And
I didn't say I loved it. I said I liked it.
You did say you loved it. I liked it. You were on a podcast saying it.
So. There were some things that did not work for me, for sure. But there were a lot of things, I think more things outweighed good than bad in this. I thought it was better than The Force Awakens.
Okay.
Not maybe almost as good as Empire. Empire still is a little higher, but you know, it's
just out of curiosity, there. Where do you throw Rogue One?
Out of all of them?
Yeah.
Oh good lord.
I've developed a twitch. While Ian's talking.
I mean it's in the high 4 or 5s. It's high up there.
There's only 9. So.
Well, it's high. It's,
but
it's,
I mean, it's in the high 4 or 5.
Yes,
right? There are multiple so 4s and 5s.
It's either in the top half or the bottom half.
Yeah, it's in the, I say it's in the top half. Rogue One's in the top half.
Okay, me.
But I loved it. I love the way they, you know, developed the characters even more, and they took characters that we know and love and took them into a whole different direction, and was very shocking. And there are some great little cameos in there and great, you know, all around Star Wars energy.
Like a force, perhaps?
Yes, or a force ghost.
Ooh. Alright. Ray?
I really liked the trailers that appeared before the film.
There were some really good trailers before the movie.
Yeah, there were. There were some damn good trailers. Anyway, it was a movie. And it had pretty things, and it did stuff. Yeah.
Stuff did happen.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Lots of stuff did happen.
The movie was not for me. I'm not saying it's a bad film. I'm not saying it's a good film. I'm saying that it didn't appeal to me. And I'll probably talk about the things I liked coming up when we do spoilers, because that is fewer than the things that I didn't like. So... Fair I'm going to try and stay positive. I do not want to step outside and have some of our Star Wars fans, like, literally beat me because they were threatening lives this week on Facebook.
Somewhere, yeah. Okay.
They're passionate fans.
Yes. Speaking of the trailers, the previews before the movie real quick, I thought it was an odd decision that there wasn't a Black Panther trailer, that we got Infinity War.
Infinity War is overshadowing Black Panther.
They're playing a long game.
Yeah, but Infinity War is already the most anticipated movie of the year, so pretty much everybody knows that it's coming.
I thought it was odd there was no teaser for Han Solo.
No, that does not surprise me. Well, that's like,
You're the only person surprised.
No, like, it's been done filming for a little bit. They could at least put, like, a 30-second teaser and call it good.
That movie is going to be very difficult for them to
actually. Oh, I agree, together. But
yeah, they probably don't have enough usable footage at this point to cobble a 30-second.
They could put
together,
like a blaster sound or something, and then solo.
No, but they don't do that in front of films. We always get the 5 or 6 minute trailer. We never get.
Well, The Force Awakens did the 88-second teaser. That's that was true. Where the Falcon flew up.
Yeah. That's a little different. That was the first Star Wars film in like 20 years.
Ten years? I mean, 20s.
It feels like a long time. But yeah, it was 10 years. Were so bad.
Oh, man.
05 was the last one. 05 was Revenge of the Sith.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay. So for me, I thought it was fine. I think that Rogue One and The Force Awakens were both better. Empire and The New Hope are both better. So this one probably comes in at 5.
Is Return of the Jedi better than this?
I'm on the fence about that one right now, because Return of the Jedi has a lot of story issues and trying to sell toys issues that The Last Jedi doesn't have. Because
those porgs were just necessary to the plot.
But then, exactly.
They were cute.
But there are porgs. So,
babies are ugly as hell, but they're cute.
So let's do this. Let's do this before we ruin anything for anybody.
Yeah.
If you have not seen The Last Jedi yet, or you care about the spoilers for it, please pause. Go see it like everybody else who has seen it, because a lot of people did see it, and come back and finish our last episode of the year with us. This has been your warning. Thank you, and let's continue.
Let's do it.
So,
did you just burp that?
No.
We didn't go over box office numbers.
I'm going to do that right now, because I didn't know
who would spark. Spoiler alert, box office numbers. Well,
I didn't know if it would spark any conversation, and I just didn't want to risk it. So,
As of right now, what is it?
Well, first off, I want to temper a few things here, because I think messaging on media outlets is really a big deal. And all of the posts about this were about how it's the second biggest opening for a movie of all time and how it's destroying the box office and yada, yada, yada.
Okay.
It fell short of The Force Awakens.
It did.
By a good margin.
And Rogue One.
No, Rogue One, it did not not perform well for compared to the
Rogue
other two.
One was like Wonder Woman, though. It performed well over a longer amount of time than it did in the short period.
Yeah.
So I have those numbers.
Okay.
So The Force Awakens opening weekend made $220 million domestically, which brought it to about $450 internationally.
Mind you, it hasn't released in China yet. It releases in China in January.
I won't, but the domestic numbers are the comparison.
Right, but so then when it's, you know,
it has a long way to go, because here's
it does. Why,
all right? So, The Force Awakens opened to a $247.97 million opening weekend. So, almost 250. So, almost 30 million more, which is more than 10%. Rogue One only opened to 155. Okay? Now, it's also
only 155.
Well, okay, but for, you know, comparison's sake, right? Right. Now, of course, you know, Wonder Woman, which was considered a massive success, opened to 103,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't have the strong weekend everybody thinks. It had a strong summer.
It right. did.
Now, I do want to put some perspective in here. Its competition basically didn't exist. The only other movie to open this weekend of any note is Ferdinand.
Yeah.
And, but on the other side of that, there's a reason why nobody
because
else
nobody
wanted.
Wants
yeah,
to
nobody
go
wants
Star
to go
Wars.
Yeah. Star Wars.
So it's one of those things where, like, the third place was Coco, which came out almost a month ago. Right? So that's its competition. There isn't a lot of other movies to
go see. Another Disney property, so they're fine.
Yeah, they're like, whatever.
But my point is more of, hey, you want to go see a movie this weekend? Sure, what's out?
Star Wars,
right? Yeah. There's not much else to go see right now. So, in the long haul is where the issue comes in here. The Force Awakens domestically pulled in $936.66 million domestically.
Is that over their Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Or
that's
is that
overall? Whole theater run. That is a long way to go. Yeah,
it is.
Now, with the Monday's box office and things like that, we've got last Friday up to 241.6. So it's almost at 500 million worldwide. It's just short of that 94.5.
And we do have the holiday coming up as well.
So it'll break 500 million
this
week.
Yeah, before the weekend probably.
Before, I mean, today. It probably broke it today.
Yeah.
Because we don't have today's numbers yet, right? So I would imagine by the end of the year, it easily crosses 600.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a fair guess. But I just want to temper that a little bit. That, yeah, it did well for movies in general, but for Star Wars, it came in second place. Okay, so that's just something I wanted to note. So, all right, so let's dive into things a little bit here. Now, how do you guys want to take this on? I know Ryan's got what he thinks to be probably
the worst scene. Do you want to do, like, act by act? Like, first, second, third act?
I think that's getting a little overly specific.
We could do about characters.
Okay. I'd like to start talking about Luke then. because that's where we left The Force Awakens, with Luke's silent
Luke
face.
Luke and Rey, yeah.
And he actually doesn't say anything in that scene at all. He throws his lightsaber that was
hilarious.
That he lost his hand with and threw it off a cliff, which I thought was really weird.
I didn't think so because of, you know, he's in exile. He didn't want to look at a lightsaber. He wants to forget about all that. So he's like, bye.
I don't think I would want the thing that chopped my hand off anywhere near me.
It didn't chop his hand off. No, it was in his hand when it got chopped off.
No, okay, you're right.
But wouldn't you be the slightest bit curious where it came from?
Also, it was your father's saber. It was. So, I mean, there is... I mean,
who you supposedly patched up things with in Return of the Jedi.
So, the very end.
So...
I have a lot of thoughts on that. On the entire movie, so get prepared for that to be said a lot. But so I think that was basically like a metaphor for the way Rian Johnson, wasn't that his name, felt about what J.J. Abrams did in The Force Awakens. I'm just going to throw it all away and, you know, move on with whatever I want to do. Could I have seen that being a scene where, yes, it's not something he wants to be around? Absolutely. Did Luke need to make it, like, comedically timed to make it a moment of laughter? No. We had 2 years of waiting. People are acting like all these reveals in this movie were built up by the fans. Who's Snoke? Who's Rey's parents? Who's all these things? Those weren't built up by the fans alone. There was a lot of stuff in Force Awakens that made it seem like these were important things.
Agreed.
And that moment was the cliffhanger for 2 years.
Yeah.
And they made it into a comedy moment.
It was a punchline, not a particularly funny one.
The comedy in this movie always felt very slapstick and forced. Like
it felt kind of Marvel-y, if that makes sense.
I kept waiting for them to look at the camera like it was a Jay and Silent Bob film and go...
I'm surprised there wasn't a bloop from the lightsaber, like, just to add to the... You know what I mean? Like, it would have that would have just completed
it. Some comedy worked. Some others where it was like, really?
Well, it's rare that you have a big box office movie where you never chuckle.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? That's rare. Unless it's something like a war film.
Right. My favorite
joke throughout the whole thing is Leia in front of Luke saying, I know what you're going to say. I changed my hair.
Yes.
Like,
I
laughed so
that.
Hard. That
Which
was
Carrie Fisher good. Actually wrote
she
that.
She wrote that. That whole entire scene with her and Luke, she basically wrote.
That would be her own act.
Which I'll talk about that later.
I knew it. I turned to you and I was like, that was her. That was all her.
But that's a great line. That's a good moment. Yes. That felt like a real moment.
It felt like acting and natural.
Right.
And
but Luke is weird that whole time when Rey
is
trying
weird
to get him.
Through the whole movie.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The whole time, right? The milk scene, I get
the worst
it.
Movie, or worst scene of any Star Wars movie ever. That was terrible.
That was
very
uncomfortable.
Off-putting and...
He's like, here's a tit.
It's a throwback to the blue milk that he's
Which
drinking.
Which is the dumbest throwback ever. Because Rogue One did it too. Galen Erso... has it in his fridge in the opening scene.
But
that's it.
But the way they're going to reference it is to have alien teats shooting out green milk, and then the creature that it comes out of going, and staring at Rey while Luke tugs it and has it drinking out of...
never needed to know the face behind that.
Yeah.
How much do you think that animatronic thing cost?
Probably at least $10,000.
It actually makes me angry that was in the movie, because, like, I get what they were doing. They were trying to show that Luke has this really boring day-to-day.
Yeah.
So Rey could say later, I've seen what your day is like, and, you know, whatever. But the scene with the fish was way cooler.
Yeah.
Like him going across with the stick and then, like, coming. You didn't see him catch the fish, but that would have been cool. But, like, with this giant freaking fish walking back to his hut, that was cool. They could have done something else like that, but instead they went with the effing.
It was weird. I will admit that.
It was unsettling.
The animatronic was very cool looking, but it was weird.
But again, Disney poured a ton of money into the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it was expensive, and most of it looked good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some shorts there as well.
You go and you find the one person you think can save you, and that's one of the first things they do in front of you. You're gone. I am off that island. And I'm like, nope, I can do better.
Should we start the engine? Let's go.
Did you see my forest scene? I'll just take care
of this. So Bruce Wayne 25, he hated the milk scene, too. So it's not just us. But it was kind of weird. But here's the thing. So Luke is not happy that Rey found her. Found him.
No.
Why did you leave a freaking map then of your exact location? That was like the entire plot of The Force Awakens.
So yes, there's that. But I'll put that aside just for a moment. If you're mad this person found you and you don't want people to come and find you, why don't you give this person a good reason to leave rather than just be annoying so she can leave and bring somebody else back? They know where he is at this point.
Who else would she bring, though?
Leia?
Well, Leia's already there. Like, you mean bring Leia to Luke?
Yeah. To Octu.
Well, the whole point is that Luke doesn't want anybody to know where busy. He is. No, but he doesn't know that.
Well.
Right? But the whole point is that he doesn't want anyone to know where he is. He doesn't want anybody there. He doesn't want anybody to be on his island. But he doesn't give Rey a good reason as to why that is, other than just being really weird the whole time.
But again, he gives her a reason later on.
Okay, but I mean, all this is irrelevant because he literally left him a map of where he's going to be. So yeah, we can argue about this back and forth. But if he didn't want anybody there, here's the answer to that. Don't leave him a map of how to get to you because, you know, I mean, I assume he left the map in case they needed him. Well, I mean,
yeah, rumor has it that he left the map basically just for Leia, and then she kind of just showed it to everyone.
but that's the thing, that Leia sent Rey to go get him, and he had no respect for that, which I thought was weird. Like, I understand that it's not supposed to be the same Luke that we left in Return of the Jedi, but it just seemed strange. He seemed to be just channeling as weird as he could be.
Which I can see maybe being on an island alone in isolation, that will do that to a person. That will make them kind of...
Has he been alone? Because he's talking to Yoda.
Well, that was the first time he saw him, though, I thought.
Is it? Because he goes, years?
I mean, we don't know what happened, you know, when he was training the other Jedi, but I think that was at least a long time since he's seen him, because he looked surprised to see him.
I mean, maybe, but that's my point, there's a lot of assumptions about, well, he's obviously alone, he's not talking to the caretakers, or he's not talking to Force ghosts, he's just staring out into the ocean by himself, is something that we have to take a leap to assume, but he's just weird the whole time with it. So, then, you know, of course, he comes back to save the day. Did any of you question that was going to happen?
No.
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 Okay. It's in Luke's character. It's in his nature.
But it's also in storytelling, right? Like, that's the most normal storytelling thing to do. Hey, we need your help. No. Hey, we need your help. No. Okay, fine.
I mean, you know, I did almost question it at one point because we did see his X-Wing submerged. And so I'm like, well, how is he going
to
get...
Yeah, how would he ever be able to get an X-Wing out of liquid? Because that's never been done in the Star Wars universe.
Yes, but I mean, being submerged for that long, I don't know if there'd be, you know, technical complications, whatever. Okay. So... You know,
well,
I'm like,
clearly he didn't need it anyway.
No, clearly. Yeah, he's like, screw this.
Well, and that was, so, that X-Wing is only shown on screen to try to get you to think that he actually showed up there. And when he shows up on the assault planet, your first thought is, well, how the hell did he get there?
That's what I kind of thought, too.
That's why they left the X-Wing.
Yeah.
No,
I thought the point of the X-Wing when I saw it was that somebody was going to raise it out of the water and it was just going to be like Empire.
Oh, I thought like, so, okay, too, at one point. I'm like, is that person going
to
raise
it? I think that's, we were supposed to assume that we were going to see Luke do that and get in it and fly away to go help.
Oh, I figured once we saw Yoda, I thought he was going to do it again. Just because he's like, douchebaggy are you? And then raise it up and then he flies away. But clearly that didn't happen either.
I had some issues with Luke's return as well as his force projection because, so, okay. He looked like his younger self, like from the flashbacks.
He got a haircut.
Right? He dyed his hair and everything. He also had the wrong lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. And his feet were not leaving footprints.
Well, but that's because he was a projection.
Right. But, I mean, all of that was because he was a projection. Like, it was...
But why was he projecting the wrong lightsaber?
Why was he projecting his clothes different? I mean, obviously he has such control of the Force that he can do that.
As soon as I saw his lightsaber, I'm like, something's different here. Something's not right.
But that's my point, though.
Because it got shattered.
It's just strange that he would show up with the blue saber, because the green saber is what's in all the flashbacks.
Yeah.
Right? They show the green saber in all the flashbacks.
Which is very cool. I like that.
So that's the one Ben knows.
Yeah.
So why would he show up with Anakin's saber?
Because it was Anakin's?
The same reason why they did all that stuff. It was because for the story to work, and they wanted to give you some hints that this was not actually him, and it was a projection. And if he had his green saber, then you would have gone, okay, well, maybe it is him. But with the blue saber, you know that there's no way that thing still exists unless he, like, threw together his father's old lightsaber, you know, randomly.
It just seemed weird for me.
Let's get down to the brass tacks of it all. How do you guys feel about them killing off the second person who's still alive and not the person who isn't Olay.
See, here's the thing. With the plans for 9, I felt that he was going to not necessarily torment Kylo, but be a looming presence. Like he said, you know, if you strike me down, I will be, you know, more, I will become a presence, you know, like your father, whatever. I can't remember what he said exactly, but.
He didn't say it as well as Obi-Wan did.
He did not. He said it differently, and I think in the long run, in 9, he was going to be a presence looming over Kylo, and Leia was going to have to be the one to redeem him. And I bet you money Leia was going to pick up a lightsaber.
There were rumors that Leia was supposed to be the focus of Episode 9, yes. But it wasn't written yet. So when Carrie Fisher died, as sad as that is, you rewrite the end of Luke. You don't have to rewrite Leia's story, but you can rewrite the end of Luke and not have him fade away like Obi-Wan did.
And maybe they have big plans for 9. For them.
Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Maybe that was the long run, I don't know.
But it just seemed more like a risk to kill off. Now there's nobody left from that original group, and now you have to rely on your new characters, but you've been leaning on the old for 2 movies.
Which I feel like in 9, they're going to rely on Luke too much, which is going to lessen his death in 8.
So then, I mean, that's again a problem.
Yeah.
Right? So what you've done is you've spent 2 movies where you're still leaning on the old, mm-hmm. right? You were leaning on Han in the first movie, you were leaning on Leia and Luke in this movie, and now you've got to move into the third, and you've got a situation where Finn and Poe still aren't really doing anything that spectacular. If anything, Poe almost ruins everything a couple of times.
Yeah, multiple times.
And Finn is only alive because BB-8 is the greatest Mary Sue of all time.
Dude, BB-8, like, that droid was pretty spectacular in Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, he was like the hero. How did he take care of everything? And I'm saying this...
Droids always do that, though.
With so much, like, sarcasm and disdain. Like, how? Why? Why?
I mean, he breaks them out of prison.
Yep.
He steals a ship for them.
Yep.
He steals a walker that he just plugs into and is moving around. Smokes shit.
Murders people with it.
And just blowing people up.
Yep. Okay. BB-8's a badass.
So I want to get back to Luke because I don't think we really finished with that discussion. Moving on to BB-8.
We digressed.
So the whole projection thing really cheaped out on what could have been, I think, a really amazing scene. We've never seen... Okay, so Anakin was born of the Force. His father was not existent. Mm-hmm. It was midichlorians or the Force, whatever. And so Luke's bloodline is basically the Force.
Yeah.
We've never seen a power like Luke's, in theory, mm-hmm. right? There's nobody... Who could compare to somebody that was born of the Force? What could have... We've seen barrier use in the Force before, like people blocking lasers and things like that. How awesome would it have been for the AT-AT scene with all him shooting, getting shot by all these AT-ATs, and Luke to, like, have, you know, doing the Wonder Woman thing or something, like, you know, like
having a Force shield around him and the laser blast
and be, like, completely worn out because of the Force that he had to use for that, and then go into the real fight scene with Kylo and have Kylo win. Sure, if that's what you're gonna do, have Rey witness another one of her mentors get struck down or whatever, if you can call him a mentor from this movie, which is being very generous. But you really could have done something amazing there, you know?
I totally agree with you. And in the new movies, they've even shown it. I mean, one of the cool things that Kylo does in the first film is stop the blaster bolt in midair.
That was cool.
Right? So Luke should be more powerful than Kylo if it's a bloodline
thing. By a lot, right? Yeah. I mean...
So why...
He's been training for...
Decades.
Yeah.
You know, 30 plus, almost 40 years, Luke has been training to use the Force, right? Mm-hmm. So why couldn't he have stopped all of those? Throwing them aside, made giant explosions happen. Maybe blow up.
I'm not sure
something.
That I want him to throw AT-ATs aside. Sure,
not the laser bolts.
I mean, there's no precedent for that really in the movie canon. Like, nobody's ever really stopped a AT-AT.
Well, no, but if Kylo can stop a blaster bolt, right? I'm just saying it's not like a huge leap.
No, and I agree with that.
I feel like it's less of a leap than what actually happens, which is a Force projection across,
which is something we've never seen.
And being able to be there in a corporeal state where you could have physical lightsaber contact, right? Or the dice thing, which I'll get to later. That is far beyond anything we've ever seen.
There's nothing like that in Rebels or the other cartoon that I've... Right. I mean, I'm pretty sure that in canon, there's nothing like that's ever happened.
There was...
Force projection across star systems.
I don't believe so. I think there's been force ghosts for sure.
Yeah, obviously.
But I don't think that there have been a force projection until now,
where somebody's living person has literally pushed themselves and made themselves look different to another star system.
Not that I know of. No,
like that seemed like a huge stretch for me. But then again, they changed the force ghosts because Yoda can actually do stuff.
See, I never really saw it as them dying. I always saw it as them just kind of becoming one with the Force, so it's still kind of... I was okay
That's
with
how people
that,
see it.
It was like manipulating the Force still. Mm-hmm.
But so here, my question is, though, if they can do that, and only Jedi can do it, Sith can't do it, right? That's what's
they could,
right?
But they don't know how.
Okay, yeah, but my point is, though, so in canon...
Sith can be Force ghosts.
Yeah, we this will.
In canon?
Yeah.
Who in canon...
Darth Bane.
Has a Force ghost?
Yep.
What's that in?
Clone Wars.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've been told otherwise, so that's interesting. Well,
watch the Yoda arc and you'll see it.
So you got one Sith Force ghost. You have at least three Jedi, because you've got Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon, Yoda, and Anakin.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe Anakin. Anakin then just showing up and talking to Kylo? Or slapping him in the face, because I guess you can do that. If Yoda can show up and set a tree on fire with lightning, I feel like the other guys could have helped maybe stop the First Order.
They could have, but they're like, let's see how this pans out, and then that didn't go so well.
So all that does is make the Jedi look even worse than they already do in these movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that scene, as like cool as it felt in the moment, definitely should have been better.
I didn't have it as much of a problem with that. I mean, Yoda was 900 years old.
Sorry, I meant back at the battle.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes.
The great battle or whatever. Yeah.
I know we haven't talked about the planet, but that planet, like,
everything. Oh, I love the planet.
And really, the cinematography is the best thing I can say about the movie. It's like, yeah. Everything was beautiful, pretty much, and...
I love the contrast between, you know, the bright, hot white, and then the deep reds. Those are really pretty, and I love that.
I didn't like the design of the ships that was basically designed to manipulate that.
It looked like a B-wing that was, like,
but why
discarded.
Did it need this one, like, rudder thing to skip
help
up all this?
It?
Yeah.
It
in the middle?
Thing.
The
it
middle?
Was,
yeah, that gives it balance.
It was very weird.
I know, but that's Star Wars trope. One of Star Wars tropes is to create a weird ship for this planet. That's what they do, right? That's why there's a bunch of different walkers, and there's a million different vessels.
I like the new walkers. They were very cool looking. Because you get a mix of new walkers, then you see in the background a bunch of old AT-ATs as well. So, which, funny enough, for those who play the Battlefront game, you find out that the First Order is actually a contingency plan from Emperor Palpatine. So it's just basically like him saying...
Do you get that from a loot crate?
No, you get it from the campaign.
Here's a little Easter egg if you unlock this loot crate for
$5. No, you get it from the campaign. But you find out that the First Order is, basically a branch off of the Empire. So a lot of... a lot of things look the same.
I just assume that because it all looks exactly
I mean, yeah, but right. I'm like, are they just followers of Palpatine? But then you find out it's like legit. If Palpatine dies, then a new thing happens.
Yeah, I kind of just assumed that they were just the continuation of the Empire.
Yeah, I kind of did too, but now you
know, just change the name.
An official canon.
By the way, the fact that a video game, like, and Star Trek did this with the 09 video game tie-in, video games should not be canon in franchises like this, in my opinion, because not everyone's going to play the video game and get all the DLC and all that BS, so that bothers me, I digress. But yeah, the planet's beautiful. Most of the time, the planets are beautiful, the ships are beautiful, right? I don't think I've ever looked at a ship and thought that it was, like, poorly constructed from a CGI standpoint. Maybe the design is silly, but the artist did a good job.
The
right?
one that looked like an iron, it was a Spaceballs ship.
The iron?
Yeah, there was one that looked like an iron, like you iron your clothes with.
That was an actual iron.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like a Star Trek symbol to me, but that's just
because it was supposed to look like you were about to be stepped on or whatever. Yeah. And actually an iron pressing you.
I thought it looked like the Star Trek symbol. I'm like, that's a nod to JJ.
It was another joke thrown in the movie that seemed kind of out of place at the time. Because, like, people are dying. The rebellion is about to be literally crushed, like, for the first time, legitimately crushed.
Yeah.
And, like, here's a joke, you know? Like,
that did it reminded me a lot of, like, a Mel Brooks joke. Yeah, I'm like, Spaceballs. This seems much like Spaceballs.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure there was a ship that wasn't iron in Spaceballs. I mean, if there wasn't, it definitely could have been, and
right.
I wouldn't even.
I mean, there's Mega Maid. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, but yeah. So the planets were beautiful. The ships were good.
So if we're going on characters, so we did Luke. Let's go on to Leia.
Sure.
Leia was great, minus the scene in space when she finally uses the Force.
Oh, I love that scene. Superman. No, I love that scene so much. No,
that was poor CGI.
That was terrible, man. It wasn't just the CGI.
For me, that might be my least favorite scene in the saga.
Really?
In the whole saga.
I absolutely loved it. Totally see
that. It's,
I'm not surprised.
So aside from it narratively making absolutely zero sense, it looked like shit. Mm-hmm. It looked like the Matrix Revolution.
See, it would have looked better if somebody had taken a Leia doll and
yeah,
you could have used like a sideshow collectible of her and it would have looked better. You know, like,
see, I didn't. I loved it.
Why did
maybe,
you love that? Can you
maybe,
explain it?
Maybe
it
was just me, my inner Leia fanboy going, "Holy shit!"
I think that's what it was. But that's why I want an explanation.
Actually using like the Force. Like I was so happy to see it. We knew she was Force sensitive,
but she
in
should
Empire.
Be dead.
Well, we don't know how space works,
okay,
though.
Yes, we do. Well, we actually
no,
do. Science
no.
tells us exactly
because
how space works.
Because Guardians of the Galaxy, they had
and
people
I had a
breathing
too.
In space.
And somehow, that scene, which was made several years ago, was better.
it
I did not mind it at all. I was still, I was in awe of the fact that they had...
Have you seen the third Matrix movie?
A long time ago.
The fight scene that's
a
rip-off
long,
of Dragon
long
Ball
ago.
Looked exactly the same.
When that bomb blew up and took out the majority of the rebel leaders, that was a punch to the gut. And sitting there,
well, do you remember
thinking,
I hit you because
yes,
I thought like, oh my god,
you are loud and you are drunk. Like, you need
care.
To bring it down a
I
bit.
I don't care.
No, but like that would have been.
But do you remember me like hitting
yeah,
you going like,
I
oh
do.
My god, they
I
actually
do.
Killed off
there.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
They killed off Leia.
Yeah, that would have been. More emotional to me. That cheap looking CGI fly through space took that away.
See, I didn't want, I only
like,
saw it the one time with you guys.
My,
I don't know if it looked cheap or not. I can't
my
remember.
Heart, my heart went out for Admiral Akbar at that point. I was like, oh,
and I forgot he died until they said, oh, by the way, Admiral Akbar is dead. What,
yeah, a throwaway
he's,
from somebody that's been through so much
he's
and then
gone?
He gets a throwaway.
Right, he's got like one line in The Force Awakens.
I'm gonna tell you why you're being a Leia fanboy and then that scene was
well,
not
no,
good.
I'm not, I haven't finished yet.
Oh, okay, because everybody else had already talked, so I thought maybe you had finished.
No,
oh,
everyone talked
God.
Over me. So,
let's calm it down a little bit.
The reason why I liked it so much is because they showed Leia being not as powerful as Luke, obviously, but still being in the realm of she could take down, you know, whoever, Kylo Ren, the Empire, whatever.
So you're telling me that scene was the best way they could have shown that she can use the Force well?
Well, they haven't showed it anywhere else, really, except for her just being, you know, sitting down somewhere going, I feel someone.
That
and
is,
that's the problem.
But that is not Rian Johnson's, like, duty to make up for, though. And if you do, you don't do it with Space Superman. Like,
well, and if you do, like, here's the thing. Yeah, it's a poorly written scene. It makes no sense from a narrative standpoint. She's in space, freezing over. She's dead. She is dead. Right?
She's not
dead. It wasn't realistic in Guardians of the Galaxy. It wasn't realistic here either.
And here it just looked worse.
But here it just looked bad on top of it. So you took something that doesn't really work in the realm of sci-fi, and then you also made it look really cheap in a movie that had a massive budget.
But I'm also wondering, was this a scene that they added in maybe after her death? So that's why they had to do CGI? Or was
doesn't
this...
matter.
Then don't do it,
yeah.
Is the thing. Like, if that's what it's going to look like, you need to have the integrity to say, this doesn't look good enough to be in the film.
Well, her, you know,
because,
her...
So here's the question, then. If it wasn't in the film originally, does that mean the bridge did not blow up, or that she did die?
I don't think it was in the film originally, because when she was in her hospital, you know, when she was in her coma, Rian Johnson said that she was not on set for that. That was CGI. They CGI'd her face onto someone else,
so,
like a prosthetic
or
whatever.
So why did that look okay?
Because maybe that was a still shot. That wasn't a moving shot in space.
Look, it looked better with Tarkin in Rogue One.
Okay. Well, let's get past the fact that it looked bad.
Okay.
It looked bad. Three of the four of us are saying it looked bad. That, I mean, I would say that's probably the case. You said you couldn't remember if it looked bad because you were fanboying so hard. The reason why narratively that didn't make sense, it was a bad idea to do, was because the most we've ever seen, including in Force Awakens, that she's ever been able to do as far as a connection to the Force, is to get a feeling about Han or Luke. That's it. Now you're telling me that she can not only manipulate the Force and do things that the Emperor couldn't do, and other characters that have been
we never saw the Emperor shot in space.
No, we saw him thrown down an elevator shaft, which, I mean, okay, I don't think it's that much of a stretch.
I think what they were setting up, though, was her to be more powerful in 9 with the Force.
Okay,
but then when she dies in real life and you can't do that anymore, that's what reshoots are for.
But I didn't think they wanted to do a reshoot. They wanted to give her a fitting, you know.
It doesn't make it good.
You can't go. No,
but I think they wanted to give her a fitting kind of, you know, tribute. And so
they failed.
No, they didn't.
They really did.
They didn't.
I think that if they're going from, you can't go from 1 to 9 without having 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And they went from 1 to 9. There was literally no explanation. Are you telling me that while Kylo was training with Luke, that she was also training with Luke?
Yeah, but Rey could use the Force. Rey could do a Jedi mind trick.
Rey could fly through space. And they showed her
didn't show her training. They didn't show anything.
We're not going to agree on this.
She just unlocked a Jedi mind trick.
It's a bad scene. That makes
I liked it.
I know you did. And I know it's You're because allowed to Carrie like Fisher it. Died.
Well, no, it's because it was a cool scene. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, Leia's using the Force.
So she had used the Force to grab a cheeseburger. You would have liked that too, by that logic.
No. Right?
So, because you just got to see her use
the Force. I would have liked that better than what we saw.
Look, I like seeing her pull herself to safety.
When an actor dies, you have to be careful about how you handle it.
Well, yeah. Right?
And it happens a lot in major franchises, mm-hmm. especially ones that have been around as long as Star Wars.
If they had that... the ship part blow up towards the end of the film, so I could still have that great line that Carrie says, I changed my hair with Luke, because if you kill her off at that close to the beginning, you don't get that great line, and I want that line. That line was like the only joke in there that wasn't over the top for me. That would have had the huge emotional gut punch that Empire did when Vader was revealed to be the father. And that is what I wanted, because that's how it felt when Carrie Fisher died as a person to me. I felt like I was punched in the gut.
Oh, yeah.
So that is what I wanted out of this movie in a way. And
here's how you fix that in the narrative. You switch the purple hair girl and Leia and let her do the lightspeed jump through the other ship. She sacrificed herself to save everybody. That's how you do it in the movie. That's a send-off for Princess Leia. Not this random person that we met for...
That's good. That, yeah.
But you know what I mean? There's even other ways to do it, right?
I'm sure there are. I'm just saying narratively.
The bridge blows up, and because she was on the other side of the table, she didn't get sucked out before the shield came on. Right? That's been in sci-fi for decades.
Right, and that's episode 3, actually, too. They had a shield there, or a blast door or whatever. Or something.
Right? She got hurt. Maybe some glass blew up and cut her, and she's got a concussion. She still has to do everything else except the floaty, spacey part. Right? Would have been fine. You could have skipped the bridge blowing up altogether, because Vice Admiral Holdo can still be the leader.
In charge, yeah.
Right? Because we don't know the hierarchy. We don't know that Akbar outranks her.
Right.
Make her second in command. That's fine. Nobody's going to have a problem with that. And what you've done now is put in a position where you had this really cool character of Vice Admiral, and you've killed her off. She's gone now.
Right. Yeah. She was cool, too. I liked her, too.
She was all right.
I mean, she's better than nobody.
I didn't like that. So. We knew very little about her because I didn't care about the character. For her sacrifice, it wasn't very big for me.
It would have been a lot more moving with Leia, because you would have had, you know, 4 movies worth of content to build up this character, and then to have 100%. Her sacrifice for the rebellion, you know.
And so then you also get to keep a cool female for the
a hierarchy and someone in power. So to wrap up Leia, what did you guys think about her and Luke's scene?
Well, so real quick, though, something that's kind of important. People want to say this was a good tribute to her, but they're going to have to kill her off.
No, they don't.
They just...
No, they don't.
I feel like
she's the general.
So doesn't mean anything.
Showing her is...
They could easily say she's leading an attack from our new base. She is off on a mission. They could easily do that. Are you kidding?
I absolutely adore you, but they cannot give her the same... treatment that they give to sitcoms when they write out a character. Like, oh, they're on the other side of the building that we just never have in a show.
I think it's weird that you're
like,
okay with that being her ending in the story instead of...
I mean, like, Star Trek is...
I mean, if they kill her off,
I'm
okay with it as long as they do it in a proper way.
But that's because Chekhov is supposed to live through all these other events because they're in the past.
Right.
Carrie Fisher's Leia is older.
Right.
So...
I mean, they could very well kill her off, for sure. So as long as they do it properly, I'm okay with it, but they can still do it the other way.
They have to put her in a situation that is even more deadly than surviving a direct explosion in outer space.
And she can't use her Force powers to get out of it, apparently.
That's a hard corner that they painted themselves into now.
Well, they have a plan for it. We don't know what 9's going to be.
But
well,
we
they
do know no that 9 wasn't written when this one was produced. 9 wasn't written yet.
Right.
So they have to figure that out. 9's
not written now. JJ just pitched it like two days ago.
It's like partly written or whatever.
The movie's not written. That wasn't the original plan, but they kept the movie the way it was after Carrie Fisher died. They have to explain why she dies now.
Rian Johnson, my thought is that he did the stuff he wanted to do, and he's like, I don't have to mess with these characters anymore.
We get so trilogy now.
Yeah. I don't have to mess with these characters anymore. Let JJ figure it out.
But, okay, so the scene with her and Leia was a sweet scene. I love that, the her joke. Luke, sorry. It's a great scene. I loved it. The dice are totally lame. That is faked nostalgia. That is not actually there. Because none of you remember those dice being in the Millennium Falcon.
I do, because Chewie hits his blaster on it.
In this movie?
No, in the episode 4.
You remember that?
Yeah, because I remember they were like dangling spikily. Sparkly, yeah. Fine. No, I swear to God, I do.
Fine. You remember that detail?
I would have been okay with it if it had been like his blaster.
I didn't know they were dice, but I knew they were sparkly and dangling.
It was going to be his jacket.
That would have been okay. Like, something that was more iconic for the character. The dice. I mean, I'm a hardcore Star Wars fan. So, yes, I knew that there were dice on the Millennium Falcon, but they weren't ever, like, a point in the movie that was something that I was attached to.
Well, that's my point. It's fake nostalgia.
Yeah.
Right? They weren't something of Han's that were ever shown to have any type of value.
I would have thought
it was much better to do the jacket, since that was what he was wearing when he died, A, and B, it was what he was wearing when they made up. And that, to me, is more emotional than...
I would rather it been his old jacket.
I do kind of wonder why they did the dice, but I'm like, oh, maybe it's because Luke touched the dice and this, I don't know, but...
That's my point. So it was this faked Force nostalgia that I'm watching there going...
A million people have Han Solo blasters and jackets. Nobody has replica dice.
Right. That's kind of my
point. Is somebody producing them now.
Because now they matter. Right, because they've been in three shots,
and they'll probably have some significance in the Han Solo solo movie.
I'm sure they'll do that.
But see, that's retroactive nostalgia.
It is
nostalgia, right? So my point is, like, this movie. One of the arguments I've had with people about this movie is everyone wants to say this is some big departure for the saga, and I don't see it being any different than any of the other movies. I think Rogue One was more of a departure.
I see taking maybe a few more risks than the other ones,
like
with character development, and killing off characters.
This one did feature more Pokemon than any of the other ones.
But as far as killing off characters, though, in The Force Awakens, they kill off Han. In Rogue One, they kill off everybody.
Killing off characters that, you know, we didn't expect to get killed off.
Who died in The Last Jedi that was shocking to you?
Snoke. I was not expecting him to get killed off.
So those reveals that Snoke and Rey are literally nobodies... was ridiculous. That's not a reveal to me. And unless your big drawn-out plan here is to make Kylo not the Darth, but the Emperor of this, then I feel like you're failing with those. Like,
no, I think you're making a really good point.
It goes back to the point that I made earlier, whereas I think that...
The Force Awakens set it up.
Yeah, the fans are, you know, they're saying, oh, the fans built up all these expectations and did all the fan theories and all that crap. But no, J.J. Abrams set that up because he kept making, in the script, comments about Rey's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And Snoke, they gave you no information on, but you know that he's like the leader of the First Order. So he's got to have some big backstory or something. And, you know, now that fans are disappointed when you find out that Rey's parents are nothing. I'm pretty sure in our Force Awakens podcast, I said that I hoped... that she would not have parents that were of any significance.
Yeah.
But I'm disappointed because I didn't expect that, and I think that the way that they led us into that, to thinking that it was
Which, to be,
be
fair, that could be retconned in 9, but...
It could be.
Absolutely.
But I think that would be cheap, and I think that, you know...
Anything that 9 retcons from 8 makes 8 even worse.
That's true.
Yeah.
Unless Kylo was just, you know, doing a whole mind trick with her, or not mind trick, a mind game with her the whole entire time.
What,
to
Snoke's
try and...
not dead?
Well, not Snoke.
No, like
her Snoke. Parents. I'm talking about her parents.
At this point, the Snoke payoff that we all kind of wanted to see him be a bigger badass. Like, I don't care that these people aren't connected. I don't care that she's not a Kenobi or a Skywalker. I mean, it would have been really cool, though, had her parents been one of the other Jedis that died, or that was her grandparents.
It would make more sense because of how powerful she is. Like, you don't just randomly show up and be that powerful without having some kind of...
She's more powerful. This goes back to my Anakin born from the Force point. Because you're telling me that a nobody...
She had no training but could use all this.
Even the training.
Snoke even makes mention of that, saying a girl with no training bested you with a lightsaber.
No training. I'm saying that, like, her overall Force power, Luke says, I've seen it only once and it didn't scare me then, but it scares me now.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's more powerful or more in tune with the Force than he is, but she has no lineage with the Force, whereas he was bloodline was literally born of the Force, so was Kylo's.
I agree, yes.
Like, that's my problem.
So, okay, so that doesn't really bother me, because if you go back to the prequels, there were tons of Jedi. Hundreds, thousands of Jedi.
That were more powerful than Luke and Anakin?
Well, I'm not saying that, but it's hard to put them on, like, a canon scale,
it's really
not, though. But Mace Windu and Yoda were incredibly powerful. The Emperor was incredibly powerful.
True.
We don't know, would the Emperor have beat Snoke? Would Mace Windu be more powerful than Kylo?
But this isn't like a fan fight thing.
No, but my point, though, is to an extent it has to be, because if we want to say that it's surprising Rey's a nobody because of how powerful she is, we have to then assume that all of the powerful Jedi are from some special bloodlines. And the saga never tells you that. The Skywalkers are the only special
bloodline. My problem is that the Skywalkers are the only special bloodline, and this one character that has no bloodline is more powerful than the Skywalkers, who are literally born of the Force. Well, that's where my problem is.
We don't know that she's more powerful, because Kylo's still alive. In fact, he's leading the entire First Order now, and he's a Skywalker.
But she seems to be more powerful than Luke.
Maybe she's
She might not be more powerful than Kylo.
I don't know that she's more powerful than Luke.
I don't know that she's more powerful than Luke.
Yeah. She's certainly doing things that Luke, like, wasn't doing at that point in his training.
Well, that may be true, right? But, you know... He was also in a different position. He didn't have people using the Force around him to push him to do things. You know, he didn't have his mind pried open by a Sith, a bad guy.
She didn't even realize that the Force was a real thing in Episode 7.
No, I know, but my point is more that there is nothing to say that Luke has to be the most powerful, right? If anything, he should be less powerful than Anakin. And Ben should be less powerful than Luke, because the bloodline gets thinned out as it goes down.
I guess. I would put it like, I just assume that they're all on a fairly equal power level, but it doesn't matter.
But if you want to base it on bloodlines, that's how bloodlines work, right? So if you don't want to base it on bloodlines, then Rey could be equally or more powerful, because it's not based on bloodlines. The end of the movie is a throwback to that anybody could be a Jedi.
Right, but this is the only movie where it's like every other movie was about
the very end
how
who uses the Force.
Every other movie was talking about how the Skywalkers are pretty much the ones to bring balance to the Force. They're the most powerful ones.
There's a prophecy,
and now this
but
one movie is saying, oh no, you can be anybody and be more powerful than this bloodline born of the Force.
Well, but don't forget, though, that the saga also shows that prophecy is wrong at least twice. If not three times. Because first it's Anakin who's supposed to bring balance to the Force. Then it's Luke. And then, no, there's another.
Well, Anakin
does
bring balance to the Force at the very end. At six.
That can be argued. Because the First Order is clearly still destroying the galaxy. So balance, I don't know. But my point is that prophecy is fluid. That prophecy has changed through the six movies that begin with those, right? It was three different characters that the prophecy was about at different points in time. So maybe the prophecy is now about Ben. I don't know, because people want to say that it's this big departure, but literally the most powerful person in the galaxy right now is Kylo, and he is a Skywalker.
But she's nobody.
So it's 8:52. How long is this podcast going
to
be?
It could be as long as we want it to be. It's our last one of the year.
Okay. But I just want to make sure, because we haven't gotten through, like,
a little longer, because we haven't talked about
anything else
with Rey and Kylo. And then we have to mention
the other new characters, too.
I mean, we have to at least talk about Finn and Rose.
Okay, that's good. We just done. That was enough.
They're cute together, but they do literally nothing to progress
Finn the film. Is, he's great. I love the actor. And I love the character, but he really doesn't have... There was no point to him being
the Canto Bight scene to me was kind of just there for plot.
No, it wasn't there for plot. It was there to... Because it didn't have anything to do with
the plot. It was a beautiful scene. Everything was beautiful. Costumes, the set design, everything was great, but it was just
there.
What
did it do for the plot?
Nothing.
Exactly, yeah. Like, the only point of it was that it was for Phasma. Like, to get him to Phasma. That was the only point of
it. Which I hated that they wasted Phasma.
Maybe
so.
So
much.
But those characters were...
She's the Boba Fett of the new trilogy.
I want her to still be alive so bad.
The actress, Christine, is great. She's awesome in Game of Thrones. This is not anything about her.
Yeah, Gwendolyn Christie is fantastic.
The character is just...
She did more than the Force Awakens.
She's just in different armor. That's the only thing that sets her out. It's like Boba Fett. There's no reason these characters should be put on a pedestal. They actually haven't done anything in the movies.
I mean, okay, so I can argue that with you, for her at least.
What has she done in the movies that's any...
And the
movies...
let them take the... or get in the...
And the movies, not a whole lot, but in... She does have canon other things that happened with her in books, and she has her own little mini-comic series. But it's still considered canon, so you have to count it.
I'm not saying that those things don't count. What I am saying is it's the movies that make $1 billion, not
it
the
books. It does, yes.
So the average fan does not read the books.
No.
Right. So you have to take her at face value. And in the movies...
Yeah, and Force Awakens,
all she did was allow them to destroy the Starkiller base.
In The Last Jedi, at least she does a little bit more than The Force Awakens. I'll give her that. But I'm still hoping that, like, her armor is fireproof and she...
Yeah, except for a giant hole in it.
Well, maybe she can have a burn scar or something.
She has to be dead.
Does she?
They can't just bring her back like they did Boba. Please, don't. Like, it's...
Well, if Leia can turn into Space Superman, then I'm sure...
But she's nobody. Like, she was also raised up from... She is not special. She was a stolen child, just like everybody else, and she bought into the First Order bullshit, since everybody else is cussing.
Yeah, we're finishing the year off strong. It's fine.
And... She dies. She was bested in a fiery battle, and she dies.
She got a cool battle scene. I will give her that.
Sometimes,
it wasn't really that cool.
Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you die in battle.
Yeah, and that's like, fine. She has to be dead at this point. You can't bring her back in episode 9.
It cheapens it every time they bring somebody back. It truly does.
I agree with you.
She has, like, a really cool line on Game of Thrones. She's still alive there, so she still gets a paycheck, people.
No, yeah, and that's the thing. It's nothing against her. It's not an actor problem. It's a writing problem for the character. There's just nothing for the character to do.
See, I don't know why, though, they wasted her. Like, that could have been... She could have done so many cool things, but they wasted her.
I honestly don't think there needed to be a reason for her to look different. She didn't need the chrome. She didn't need the cape. She is the only one out there. Nobody else. There's no other captains of the stormtroopers.
Well, there's a reasoning why behind the chrome. It's not explained in the movie, but there's a reasoning behind the chrome.
But again, that's a problem, right? If you want to do all your explaining in the books, you gotta tell people that.
Which I do. I do agree that, you know, it would be nice to know that she took the chrome from Palpatine's out because she is so much in favor of the Empire in the First Order that she crafted her armor out of that. That's why it can deflect blaster bolts, because Palpatine's yacht could deflect blasters.
You know what? And Han Solo has a black wife in the book. So let's just, like, stop talking about the books and start talking about this awful plot hole ridden movie.
So the Finn and Rose storyline literally does nothing for the plot, because they completely fail. It was an excuse to get Benicio Del Toro in the movie for really no reason.
Which was a terrible...
so bad.
What was the point of having...
Is he a droid or is he a person? Because I wonder if he's going to be a droid, because he has, like, that tick.
Yeah, but he also stutters. Like,
I mean, that would be the most advanced droid in the entire galaxy.
Right. They've never been shown to have droids like that. No. I mean, it would be...
He could be a Cylon.
Yeah, the character choices for his character were kind of lame. I get that he's, like... Essentially, he's the real villain of the movie, right? Snoke was not the villain. It was was the one that was there that was to show the characters that the good people do the same thing the bad people do.
Right.
And, you know, whatever. I think they could have handled that a lot better.
I mean, that was the message they were trying to show. The good guys buy guns from the same people the bad guys buy guns from, right? Yeah, and that's a real-world thing. And it's a problem, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But... like
addressing it in like a 2-second scene, you know, in a part of the movie that didn't even need to be there.
Are also not destroying entire planet systems, so let's weigh out the lesser evils.
That also didn't work so well either. Yeah.
But he was a complete waste of space. Like, going back to comparing Guardians of the Galaxy, he had the same amount of screen time as a collector.
And he was way better as a collector.
10 times better. Like, I know Benicio Del Toro just wants to be the awkward, weird guy in every film he's in. He does those. He makes those choices. And he did it here. And I was just like...
I didn't buy it. I bought it as a collector, but that stutter was not, like, it was a weird thing for me. I didn't get
it. A weird acting choice. Yeah. You know, Rian Johnson wasn't like, you should do that.
Yeah.
Now, for Poe actually bothered me quite a bit, because he went from, like, the hot shot, real, like, face of the rebellion, getting promoted at the end of The Force Awakens, to not giving a damn about hierarchy in the military at
all. And getting demoted in the first, you know, 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. But is that because this takes place literally right after Force Awakens?
Yeah.
Do you think that's because he's so, like, kind of still angry about what happened with the First Order destroying the Republic? He's like, I'm going to destroy you.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it kind of ruins the character for me. Because in The Force Awakens, he's a hero, and in The Last Jedi, he's just a meddling...
A hotshot flyboy, no, as Hollow calls him.
He's a meddling little kid who almost derails the only plan that the Rebellion has to survive because he has a hunch and doesn't like the Vice Admiral on a personal level, right? You know... He has no evidence for anything that he believes. He risks their detection by sending off the pod with Finn.
He gets most of the bombers killed.
He gets all bombers killed.
Speaking of the bombers,
to retreat.
Really, the Republic is using bombers in space that are supposed to drop bombs down onto something.
Which, where are the
Y-wings? I don't think that's how space works.
Where are the Y-wings at?
I assume they don't have those anymore.
They have A-wings.
Yeah, but I just assume like the Y-wings. I know we're supposed to.
I don't even care about that. I care about the physics. Yeah. Bombs don't fall down in space, guys.
No, Star Wars bombs do.
In Star Wars, ships do sink. It happens in almost every.
That bothered me. This was actually the first movie where I noticed that, and it bothered me.
Oh, it all
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, when they start blowing up,
they blow down.
Yeah, they all blow
up. Oh, I see what you mean.
When it shouldn't, they should stay level. Like blow out.
I mean, well, but Star Trek has some of that stuff, too. Like in Star Trek 3, when the Enterprise is about to blow up, like it tilts. Like, the idea is that, I get it, if the ships were all pointed at weird angles, it would look silly and confusing. I understand. But the bombs were a little more egregious because of how specific that scene is.
Yeah, and how integral it is to the whole movie. And Rose's whole character, I mean, and Poe's character, like, it's integral to a lot of things.
Well, I mean, let's also talk about how the Dreadnought, which is supposed to be a fleet killer, has a giant hole in the top of it.
If the Death Star does, it's not surprising.
You're going to hate me when I say it.
Oh, here we go.
If it's in the books, I don't care.
No, it's not in the books.
Is it in the video game?
Yeah.
No. Don't care. I don't. Cause
I know, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's there. You just got to look for it.
At some point, the bad guys have to stop designing ships with giant bullseyes.
I do agree.
In Rogue 2 Electric Boogaloo, somebody's going to have the plans for the Dreadnought. We're going to find out that he was like, I'm working for the Republic. I'm going to put a big hole that nobody's going to notice on top of it.
Now, additionally, I like that scene even less because there was a rumor for that scene that ended up not being true that I think would have been better. The rumor for why the Dreadnought was flat was that they were going to have an actual space battle of troops on the outside of the ship.
Oh, I heard that too,
And I thought that would have been at least new.
Maybe it's a different scene, I don't know.
I cannot think of anything in sci-fi where that's actually happened. And that would have been something very groundbreaking that would have looked cool and unique.
I say it happened in the Clone Wars TV show. That doesn't, I mean, it counts, no, but it's not like,
you can
yeah,
animate. I mean,
a live action.
Yes, I agree.
Because Star Trek did it in the animated series in the 70s.
Yeah,
right. But I mean, in live action, like real people, and
that would be cool.
Yeah,
that would have been really cool.
It would have been fun.
Did you guys like the dynamic between Poe and Hux in the very beginning?
No, I thought that was okay. So I have mixed feelings
on
that.
That was dumb.
Poe, it is in Poe's character to make jokes like that. Like, he made the joke about, do I start talking? Do you start talking? So, in Force Awakens. So I was okay with that to his character. But the problem with that for me was, do phones exist in Star Wars? And hold? Putting people on hold? Like, is that a thing in Star Wars? Nobody's ever said it, but he made jokes about it. Right? Like,
it was a little colloquial. I think was the real issue with that, was that it was very normal conversational dialogue.
And then he made a mama joke.
I enjoyed Hux.
Never mind, I was going to say something quick.
I liked him a lot. Like,
I'm sure you were, because...
I am so happy with Hux's character, because he's like one of the first characters that does the job for me.
But he's just very one-dimensional.
Right, but I don't care. Like, he is acting it so that I hate him, and I do. He is the only one getting the job. I'm supposed to love Rey and Finn and Poe, and I'm supposed to have weird tingly feelings about Kylo from what my Twitter feed says I took. I don't know.
Bruce Wayne 25 does agree about the vulnerability thing on the Dreadnought, by the way. I just want to throw that in there.
But it's so different than the other movies, guys. This one was groundbreaking and changed everything in Star Wars.
Ryan didn't make this movie for you.
Right, I know. He made it for the real fans.
No, he made it for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
And by the way, just as a parallel here, to say that something that happened in The Last Jedi is okay because it's explained in a book is like saying the Hobbit movies are okay because of the Lord of the Rings movies. And that doesn't work for me. It's got to be good on its own. It has to. And
We haven't talked about Kylo at all.
So we need to talk about Kylo and Rey and their whole little force-connected mind trickery.
I'm going
to
say that Kylo was the best part of the movie for me.
He still doesn't like him.
It's because he was
almost had me. He almost did. So anyone who doesn't know, I actually really found Kylo annoying in the Force Awakens.
I did
not Adam Driver. Kylo. I like Adam Driver, but Kylo, he was a little too whiny, a little too teenagery Anakin.
Yeah.
As you know, as an adult, didn't work for me. In this movie, he almost had me. He really did.
What was the part that lost you?
When he is the Star Wars version of the movie Magneto, where he's a good guy, but he's really a bad guy. But no, he's going to be a good guy again, but he's a bad guy. But he likes Rey.
They really did like 90% of that in this one movie. Magneto's been doing it in like 17 movies.
I know, the scale's not quite the same, okay? But for me, a character can only go back and forth so many times before I cease to care.
But he didn't go back because he wasn't being a good guy. Where did he go to the light? That's true.
I'm not saying he went to the light. I'm just saying that I don't buy it.
He manipulated the situation to try and get Rey to be with him in this new...
I understand.
He's almost smarter than Snoke in that instance.
I understand. I don't think it was some, like, college-level scene, you know, that was, like, a complicated thing. He wanted to kill the big bad guy so he could be in charge because the bad guy was picking on him.
And he wants to bone the hot chick and the two of them run the whole thing together.
I think that's cheapening it a little bit. I think that he wants to not be alone doing this thing alone. He found somebody that's like him because really in this time period in Star Wars, who can use the Force, right? There's Snoke we know of. There's Luke. There's Kylo. And there's Rey.
And half of them are dead now.
And Force Ghost Yoda.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Yeah, apparently when you're a Force ghost, you can do stuff now.
And hit people with a stick.
He found a person that's like him, that's young like him, and so he saw he might not have to go this alone. And the one line that really actually got me to be more like, okay, I'm with Kylo now, is when he said, please.
That's
to true. Rey, because that was the scene where you could tell.
His hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
He said, please, because he doesn't want to do this alone, and he's not confident. He's a bad Sith. He's not good. He's not a Sith. Okay.
But
he's not a good
He's a bad dark side user.
He's really not, like, cut out for it. And even, no matter what, and you could say he's going back and forth, whatever, but he's really not so far gone that I couldn't buy him going to the light side, because he really wants Rey to do this with him, and he doesn't think he's doing the
wrong
thing.
He wants a friend, he wants a companion. Yeah. It's not just like, sorry that I use the whole he wants to bone her, because yes, he totally does. He is very attracted to her, and you could tell she is too, but that's kind of the thing that... this is a weird comparison. In all of Anne Rice's novels, she has the vampires like pair up because it's an immortal life and they want a companion. And
that makes sense.
Well, somebody that understands your position in life is always going to be more attractive to
you. Oh, yeah.
That's fine. I'm not saying that there are parts about his character that I found confusing or just didn't make sense. I get that. But he's such still a whiny, tantrum-throwing child. I mean, the entire final act of the movie is that way. When Rey says no, he gets so mad that he takes the fleet down to the planet and unloads 28 AT-ATs at Luke. You know, he's a child.
Yeah.
But that's part of his character. Had Rey really not met before then?
Like, no.
Jeez, wow.
Unless it was a scene we didn't see on the base in episode 7,
no,
but we didn't.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's so weird to keep the new trio apart from each other for a full 2 movies.
Here's my question. When is Lando coming in? Because we need him.
He's not. I don't care about Lando.
I want him to come in 9 at this point.
We don't need cameos from all these people to make the, you know what I mean?
Billy Dee is also connected. Not in a good spot. Like, he's...
Health-wise, he's not in the best shape.
Like, he walks with a cane and stuff, and I'm not saying they can't bring that into the character. I'm saying that, you know, it's more traumatizing to me to see these heroes fall and see them sickly and stuff. And, like, you go to a con and you see Peter Mayhew, and it's sad.
It is.
It hurts. So I don't want to see that on screen anymore.
If they were going to put Billy Dean in the movie, it would have been this one.
The Codebreaker, yeah. That's who it would have been.
He could have been on that planet, somewhere in that city as their contact or whatever, and he was fed bad intel, and that's how they get, right? But they didn't. He's not going to be in episode 9. I think that would be a bad decision at this point. What else?
I'm not saying I wasn't trying to downplay your opinion of Kylo. You're allowed to have that opinion. But I think that anger, that I know people that have anger issues, right? In real life, I had anger issues in the past, and when I'm angry, I get really focused on whatever made me angry, and I don't think that's so unbelievable. He is whining.
It's not unbelievable, but it's just hard for me to buy into him as a villain. The villains in Star Wars, for the most part, have been pretty solid. You've got Vader, you've got Emperor Palpatine, right?
But they couldn't do that type of character again, though. That's my point. They couldn't do something different.
He now has to run the entire First Order alone with no apprentice. He has Hux.
Hux is like, I would betray you in a minute.
Maybe that's a departure, but I just don't, like, I'm having a hard time buying into that being a threat.
So I really enjoyed the scene where they killed off Snoke. I was one of the ones that clapped in the theater. I thought that entire scene from start to finish, like him bringing her in as a hostage, him...
I thought that was cool. It was very reminiscent of Return of the Jedi.
Everything about it, though, like Snoke holding her there in that grip and her just screaming in pain. Like from start to finish, that whole scene... Probably my favorite scene in the whole movie.
It was very cool.
Fighting off the guards, so I love that scene.
I loved Kylo and Rey teaming up to fight the Praetorian guards.
Yeah, and it's like they just straight up murdered.
But I still kind of wish you would have gotten more from Snoke because they did build him up from seven.
This should have been in 9, totally.
Oh, yes.
Because I wanted to see him destroy more and kill more. Because you can see him use
the
bigger...
Force. He used Force lightning. He is a dark side user. We just don't know of what extent.
And I like seeing Andy Serkis do his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great actor. So seeing him around makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
But think more about that scene, though. As when I came out of the movie, I was like, man, that might be the best lightsaber battle in the saga. Then I was thinking about it. And you in that room had, supposedly, the three most powerful Force users in the galaxy. And once Snoke is dead, neither of them use the Force. They do. It's a straight lightsaber battle to grab their sabers.
No, well, the saber to the head thing that Rey, you know, that Kylo does.
That was cool. I love that.
The very last moment when the fight is over.
Oh, so that doesn't count.
Because the fight's over, right?
No, it's like, not. There's still one left.
That's
like when the bricks fall in the Matrix
nitpicky
movie, like,
thing.
Yeah, I think that's a little nitpicky too.
I think it was just a very beautiful scene.
I loved it.
Okay, apparently I'm not allowed to have that opinion.
No,
so.
I didn't say that. That's my opinion that it's very nitpicky of you, Jesus.
Shouldn't the two of them been able to like pick those guys up and throw them all out of the room?
But then we don't get a really cool
lightsaber battle.
And
I would have liked lightsaber battle more than Force user battle.
That's fine, but if they hadn't done the lightsaber battle, you wouldn't have known that. Right? So my point is, if the lightsaber battle hadn't happened and they used the Force to knock all those guys out...
Well, plus you haven't seen Rey use her lightsaber, really. You saw her cut a rock in half. Ooh. I want to see her kill someone with it.
But does that help the story along?
Yeah, because it shows her, you know, using a lightsaber. It shows her, you know...
But why is that important? The only other lightsaber user is Kylo. So...
because it goes on to 9, that's why it's important.
But we don't know that it goes on to 9. You're making an assumption about a movie that's not even written yet.
It does. I bet you money. Here.
That's not the point. The point is...
You guys heard it. Ian's going to give Derek money.
A bunch of money, yep.
I just said money.
Pay off.
The point is I'm talking about the character development in the movie that we have, not a possible unwritten future film. And in this movie, we're supposed to know that these two are very powerful Force users, and the reason Snoke and Kylo are so interested in Rey is because of how powerful she is, and Kylo and Rey don't really take advantage of their abilities in that scene. They're clearly outnumbered. And in previous, you know, Star Wars stuff, they would have used the Force to do that. So maybe that's the departure.
They
didn't use their abilities.
I have a very nitpicky thing about Rey. This is as nitpicky as I will ever be. And it's because Rian Johnson is a man and he's never had this happen to him. She dove in that water in the Sith hole.
The Sith hole.
The dark butthole.
Yep.
With three... very tight ponytails.
Yes.
She comes out with one. And it is messed up. It is not messed up from water. It is beautiful and perfect.
It's like
and
slick
nice,
back and everything.
She and it looks really good. Yeah, that is the only explanation for her hair like that. Clearly, he's never had long hair and dove in
maybe
pool
that
before.
Was that a vision of
that
her?
Is as nitpicky as I am going. No, because her hair is like that for the rest of the film.
Well, if she saw in their vision, she's like, I like this style.
Also...
Have you guys ever had long hair?
No.
You don't know what it's like to dive into a pool and come out with hair like that. It does not look that pretty and nice, and that's not how it works. So, that's as nitpicky as I am going to be.
I didn't get to say much about the lightsaber battle. That scene, taken on its own, yes. I think that's probably one of the coolest scenes involving a lightsaber in Star Wars. But calling a lightsaber battle is a little weird because they don't ever actually, like, fight with lightsabers. They fight everybody else that's not using lightsabers.
That's true.
Literally no fight lightsabers.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Also, you're going to tell me that Snoke, the supreme leader of the First Order, didn't expect that maybe a Force user with a lightsaber might, you know, I don't know, come and attack him someday. And so he doesn't have these guards that are trained to take out people that have basically no training with the Force. Like, yeah. Are these the Knights of Ren?
So there's rumors that they are, but you'd also think that they would be more capable in a fight, too.
Also, why wouldn't you say that? Because that was one of the coolest threads dangling from Episode 7 for me, and we never heard anything about him. And they did kind of hint, again, that the other people that went left with Kylo...
You know, I do wish they would have explored more.
Those were obviously the Knights of Ren, but we never heard anything out about, you know, anything beyond that. But yes, that scene was very cool. I didn't really love the idea of the whip things.
No, like, that was weird.
Whenever the fans were like, a lightsaber whip, you know, in fan fiction and everything, I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It reminded me of Iron Man 2.
Yeah, it was not a good idea.
It was because it was a whip, but then it turned into a sword.
It was like Pacific Rim, that sword.
It was Ivy from, you know, Soul Calibur. It was a whip and then a sword.
Yeah, you're right.
Star Trek had that fencing thing where it kind of like the sword came out like a whip and
it didn't use it as a whip. It came apart up in parts.
Like, oh, like
it
Tetris.
It built itself.
I kind of liked the whip sword, but that's just me because it can dual wield
sword.
I liked it.
So the last thing I want to say before I'm done here, the animals were damn distracting. I've never, ever, ever seen a movie where they tried to build a universe so much and they spent more time on the background than needed
Like the teat-milking animal?
The porgs, the Vulpexes, and the Faldiers.
The porgs actually had a legitimate reason why they were there for a lot of it. Not for all of it. But on that island, in real life, there were puffins all over the island.
Right.
And they put the porg over the puffins to kind of cover that up so that, you know, it kind of...
But they also removed it.
So they legitimately, it was cheaper for them to just put CGI on top of puffins, apparently.
We see puffins, so we're going to create our own kind of puffin.
Apparently, I'm guessing there weren't puffins, like, crawling all over Luke's lightsaber, like, almost turning it on, which I actually thought
funny.
I hope he activates it. Don't touch it.
They're going to do this, really?
And then Chewie eating one, I was like, oh my gosh, they did it.
Yeah.
They did it.
That was a little dark.
I wish he would have just, like, eaten it, like...
Yeah, but, like, the scene right after where the porg is looking directly at him and making him... Like, that is stuff that we didn't need.
I wanted to eat it, like, look back at him.
It's very Disney of them.
That was distracting. Look.
But the Vulpinix or whatever they were, the crystal foxes.
The
Vulpix, they were cool.
At least I love them. They were cool. Show them the exit of
That's my thing, though. Can you guys name another Star Wars movie that used the animals so much? Like, the porks
Ewoks
had a purpose.
But now you gotta be careful there.
They're a living, sentient being.
They have Rancor.
They have a society with technology and a language.
Well, they don't have technology, but
I mean,
define technology.
They have
handmade weapons. That's technology. Bronze Age technology.
The Faldiers, the Vulpexes, and the Porgs, they all had purpose. They all were part of the story, but that was, like, why?
Yeah, we didn't actually have to see Luke shoot some womp rats back home.
He just said it.
But there were, like, T-16s and, like, you know.
Yeah, but that was part of the problem with the special editions, right? Was that they added a bunch of that stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
It was distracting. It wasn't just a, like, in the corner of your eye thing. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
See, I like the crystal foxes. I thought they were very pretty. I like the crystal foxes.
How they look and how I feel about them emotionally
is different.
Means nothing to how they belong in the film.
Honestly, I didn't care about the porg. Like, the porg were fine. I thought it was going to be much worse than it was.
Yeah,
but
that's fair.
And the crystal foxes were fine. They were in, like, one scene.
Those were unnecessary, but of course that whole scene was unnecessary.
Right. So
that whole planet.
I did like how Rose connected with them. But other than that,
Rose seemed
to
connect with everything. That was my major issue with her. She just kept having, like, flashbacks to her horrible childhood. And I was like, I get it. You have more backstory than Poe and Finn combined, sweetheart. But
I think she's adorable. I love Rose. I can't wait to see what happens.
I like her. Oh, I do. Yeah. I think they need more than one female per saga.
Yeah.
I really do.
Nope, that's all you get.
I am so one happy and done. That it's also not a white brunette. Like,
yeah.
Representation matters, and I love that because her sister is also,
you
know.
The problem is they took the two main minority characters and gave them the one plot thread that meant nothing to the story.
And they put them together. Like, now.
That's my point, though, right?
She definitely ships.
Like, and it made the movie a half an hour longer than it needed to be.
Oh, the movie's so long. The movie is so long.
It's the longest Star Wars that's been made, right?
It felt like Return of the King, where there were spots where, like, oh, okay, so this is where it's going to end. And then it kept going.
I thought when Luke and Leia, you know, had their scene together, and then he walks out, they were going to kind of, you know...
The music was going to swell there, and they
swell, and then he was going to look out into the distance, see the walkers, and see Kylo staring him down, and then... End.
So that's a good point to get to, is that when I left Force Awakens, I was really excited about this movie.
Me too.
When I left this movie, I was just like, okay, it's not that I need a cliffhanger at the end, but there was nothing really left to solve. Like, everything, Snoke was dead, you know.
They did a whole trilogy in two films.
Yeah. I mean, they might as well have with a 2.5 hour long movie. It's basically like two movies in one.
The one thing they gotta, you know, kind of, I guess, wrap up would be when Leia says, no, we have enough to build a rebellion, which would be, you know,
they don't really need to wrap that up, though, because then you just know, okay, now they're going to rebuild the rebellion. I mean, do we need to have her, like, playing Age of Empires, like, going, here, we're going to have some rebellions over here and over here?
It is where we left off Return of the Jedi. It's essentially where this movie leads us, right? A bunch of really bad stuff happened, but the good guys kind of prevailed and survived, and the big bad died.
And they blow shit up.
Right. And the guy who's the big bad is really conflicted, so how big of a bad will he be?
Yeah, I mean, Kylo is really the only thread left. And I was really into Kylo in this movie. Like, I was on board with him fully. I struggled a little bit with Force Awakens, but...
Kylo and Rey were my favorite parts, and I love that they were brought together...
I think that Rey was wasted a little bit, but I'm hoping that gets better in episode 9.
What do you think of the whole forced kind of love plot between Rose and Finn?
I think
we kind of covered
forced.
That. I mean,
anything
I don't think
that
was,
included them was just kind of
unnecessary. I hated that so
much.
I don't
think it was forced. To be completely honest, as a chick, if I had been through all that stuff and I thought I was going to die, I'd try and kiss the dude too. I wouldn't even sit there and think like, oh, when I wake up, we're going to be boyfriend and girlfriend. I'd just be like, this is how I'm going out. Hot dudes getting a kiss. Like, that's how I'm going to die.
I do honestly feel that if they had let Finn sacrifice himself and blow up that battery
better.
Ramp.
It would have been a nice wrap.
I was legitimately going like, oh my god, they're going to fucking kill him.
You
want to
talk about a departure from Star Wars? You do that.
Yeah.
That would have been really amazing.
I was like, oh my god, they're
I do kill like her little line though. Her, we don't kill the things we hate.
We fight against them or something. Yeah.
Yeah, we fight for the things we love. I thought that was a really good line. And
that was a very strong line from her.
It was. But no,
it was
totally
fine.
Right.
Like, it's a little really cheesy. Cool about it, yeah. They're still on the battlefield. Like, the fact that somehow nobody is like, oh, hey, shoot them.
They were so far away.
Target.
Right? Like, how did they get back without a single AT-AT going,
I am not going to lie. I thought that too. I was like, oh my god, there's no
they
cover.
They drove those ships way the F out there. Like, they had a long ways to go.
If it's hard,
10
yeah.
feet from the AT-ATs.
No, if it's hard for me to get from point A to point B in Battlefront 2, it's hard for them to get from point A to point B in the movie.
It was hard for Finn to get there. How is he getting back on foot?
With a chicken.
And he's dragging her, too. He's like, oh god, I hope you don't scrape her.
There were a lot of issues from that standpoint. I liked... what Holdo did with the light speed
that was so cool.
Was really cool. It does unfortunately beg the question, how come the Rebellion hadn't done more of that type of attack with ships that were about to be blown up anyway?
My issue is, why didn't the First Order, when they were, you know, attacking Leia's ship, why didn't they just, like, kind of maneuver around a little bit, send some fighters out, and then attack from the front? Like, why is only attacking the rear the only option?
Well, the idea is that they're all at the same speed.
But you could send fighters out that are much more faster.
But in A New Hope, see, this is again, like, they want to talk about how the chase was a big departure. But in A New Hope, they state when they find that one TIE fighter in the remnants of Alderaan, that, oh, it's just a short-range fighter. So it has to have a base to go back to, right? The TIE fighters can't go very far.
Right, but they weren't that far away from the ship, were
they? They were far enough away. That's the premise of the whole chase.
See?
So you can either buy into that, or you actually have to throw out the entire
plot
of the movie. Because the entire movie is predicated on they have to outrun the First Order until blank.
Right.
Right? That's the entire premise of the film. So if you can't buy into that, then the entire plot of the movie falls out.
All right. Yeah.
But I did think Haldo's jump to light speed was cool because, you know, you jumped and there's silence. There's no noise, nothing, and then a huge explosion. Kind of like how the seismic charges were in episode 2, but better.
It's time for grades.
Yeah, so I'm coming up on 3 hours of podcast tonight. My voice is shot.
I give it a C minus.
Oof. C minus from Ray. Ryan?
We just talked
about I'm going to guess Ian's is an A plus.
You're wrong.
It's in the A's for sure. I'm going to say it's a C. A solid C for me.
Yeah. An A minus.
Yep, nailed it.
So when I came into this, I really had it
at a minus.
I had it at a B minus. And when we talk about movies, my grade usually changes from the beginning of our conversation to the end, one way or the other. Right? With Thor Ragnarok, it went up by the end of our conversation, and I was much happier with that movie after we talked about it.
Which I'm really glad about, by the way.
This one went down.
So you went from a B plus to what?
No, I went from a B minus.
Or B minus, excuse
me. To I'm gonna give it, so I'm trying really hard here. I think I have to give it a C as well.
Yeah. I think that's a fair grade. It's not the worst Star Wars movie, but it is nowhere near what a lot of people are making it out to be. Like this.
So that being said, what do you guys want to see from 9, real quick? Like your top like 2 things or whatever. What do you want to see in 9 that
Donald Glover?
You what did you
age him up.
What you didn't see in 8 or what you want to see either retconned or just completely changed?
I want to see more lightsabers and a Kylo Ren resolution. If that's killing him off or if that's having him go to the light side or whatever, then that's so be it. But Kylo Ren is, like Ryan said, the only dangling plot thread after this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Poe and Finn finally kiss. I'm tired of the moment.
Gays in space.
Yeah, didn't they say they were going to feature a first LGBT character in this?
Which was Haldo.
Yeah, it was in the books.
No, it was.
I know. That's why I said it.
It was legit in the books.
I totally believe that's you.
So but she was ambiguously LGBT. I want full on like man on man kissing, space penises touching.
So I will say in 2017, Star Trek did it better. I will say that much.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually showed someone holding hands in Star Trek.
They kissed. They kissed. Straight they on were husband kissing. And
did
husband.
They kiss? I thought they kissed out. Count the kiss in the movie.
No,
not the movie. The show.
Oh, I'm talking about the movie.
No, it was a Star Trek movie in 2017. Yeah,
Star Trek Discovery had.
Discovery has two gay couples.
I haven't seen
couples.
It yet, so I don't know.
So.
Well, two gay couples, too. They're in the party scene.
Oh, yeah.
The time loop. Yeah, there were two.
Well done, Star Trek.
So, just saying. But,
anyway.
I mean, for the next movie, I assume.
Remember, it's directed by J.J. Abrams and written by him, so you gotta go go with that.
Yeah, I assume Rey, along with Luke's Force Ghost, are gonna train some new Jedis.
Didn't say there may be a possible time jump in this one, so.
Kylo is going to throw 12 more tantrums, and the rebellion will be almost on the verge of collapse. That's what's gonna happen.
Oh my god, I'm surprised they made it like, this far. Like,
I'm thinking that they're going to build a giant super weapon, the Empire is, and that there's going to be a small imperfection in it that allows the Rebellion to destroy
it. Or it's like halfway into
construction. It's going to be way different than any other Star Wars movie that came before.
See, this is what's so great. So, okay, let's think about this. A lot of people want to call The Last Jedi a departure from Star Wars, right? But let's look at the original trilogy. You had A New Hope with a giant death sphere that they blow up, just like The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Then you had The Empire Strikes Back, where there wasn't a big thing like that, but there was a cool ground battle with some type of ground speeder at the last base of the Rebellion where they were trying to hide, which is just like The Last Jedi. So I'm going to guess Ryan's right.
Yeah. No, what I'd really like to see is I'd like to see Rey finally crack and go to the dark side and Kylo to kind of be redeemed and come back to the light. And
that would be cool.
I'm really
cool. Become gray Jedi.
I want them both to end up with each other's lightsaber and, Actually, really, I want Rey to make her own lightsaber out of her staff because she obviously feels like more comfortable with her staff and I want it to be yellow.
See, I think she'll make a double-bladed lightsaber.
I want her to
maybe
be Bastila, basically.
Bruce Wayne 25 gives it a B-.
Okay.
Last Jedi.
Generous.
generous. I think that's a really interesting idea. I think it would be cool if her and Kylo do become kind of these gray Jedi in the middle, because then the Skywalker family would finally bring balance to the Force. And after 9 movies, they could finally pay off that story.
After 30-plus years, they can do it.
Super weapon.
After,
of course. Well, and I mean, that's what Poe's job is.
And they're going to team up with the Porg. Well,
see, the Second Order will be building the giant Death Spear, and Kylo will get mad about it, and then he'll want to team up with Rey to stop them.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's...
It's like, the Second Order? This is the First Order! We were first!
Will there be a montage?
I hope so. With Kylo and Rey training together, it'll be great.
There's going to be one line dropped about the Knights of Ren, and we're never going to see anything else about it.
No. It's in the books, right?
Yeah, it's in the books. It's in the game.
All right, guys, we're done.
All right, thank
you. I didn't get to say mine.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
You talked a lot.
Just because nobody wants to hear it, Ian.
Oh, my God.
I thought your answer was just it's in the books.
No.
I'm going to say the movie. He wants Carrie Fisher to get force powers.
No, she already had that. So
obviously, Superman.
In the movie, I would like to see, one, how they do handle Princess Leia not being there. That is going to be very huge for Star Wars fans alike. I would like
General Organa.
Excuse me. I would like to see how they, if they do incorporate the Knights of Ren again, because they were cool and they were, you know, each one was very unique looking and we didn't get any really mention of that in The Last Jedi. It was just like, you look ridiculous, take off that mask, and that was it. And then I want to see what happens with Rey's journey with all these new characters that we've seen, because they were put through, you know, they were put through some stuff through this movie, and so how they handle it going to the future will be very interesting. Also, I want to see Yoda again, because that was fun.
I just want the whole movie to be Yoda.
Just Yoda?
Agreed. Yoda training Kylo when he comes to the light. That's what I want to see. I want to see his, like, temper tantrums with, like, Yoda on his back.
Star Wars Episode 9, Return of Yoda. Yeah.
Was everyone surprised when Yoda popped in, by the way?
Yes.
Because I didn't expect that.
Oh, so I had remembered that there were rumors of Frank Oz being on set.
He was at the premiere, and I think that was a big thing. But then he was also at the premiere of Episode 7.
Yeah. But I actually didn't know he was at
the premiere. I didn't get to say Yoda being a puppet. Thank you, Ryan Johnson. You did that right. That was the most convincing Yoda.
Right.
And Frank Oz.
Yeah. I was like, see these ears, and I'm like, Yoda!
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, I agree.
Walk. Like, that's one thing they never nailed with the CGI Yoda.
Agreed. Yeah.
No, they got that right. I thought they did a good job with that. But that's going to be it, guys. We're at an hour and a half. We are done.
This is a lot ending for you.
For 2017 of Screen Heroes. And I'm not going to edit much of this. I'm just going to let it roll.
Oh, cool.
And thank you, everybody.
For season 4, we're going rated R. Can we do it?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
It doesn't have to be rated R. Just be fluid. Don't be overly vulgar on purpose.
We know.
You know? But... Look, we're
going to be more vulgar than we were in the past.
Perhaps. But look, everybody who has listened over 97 episodes.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
you, we so appreciate much. You.
We love you guys. Please reach out to us at Heroes Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. Of course, follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/Heroes Podcast. We do Screen Heroes live Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. We are taking next week off, so we will return on January 2nd.
Yes.
Is when we are coming back, and so the episode will be live January 2nd, and you can listen to it later on the 3rd, and my voice is shot. Somebody finish up for me, please.
All right. You can find us at Heroes Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gmail.
No Gmail. We don't have a Gmail. Forget it. Thank you, everybody.
Watch our other shows.
We got Ryan of Buster Props, Ian of House of Turner Cosplay,
hi.
Siren Ray Cosplay. I am the Star Trek dude. Thank you, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.